You might want to keep your Bibles open to Psalm 100. It's just a great psalm of praise and a psalm of service. And I trust that as we, for a few minutes this morning, meditate on its truth together, you might be encouraged. I don't know about you, but I was encouraged this morning on my way up from Watertown. I don't know, it was about 100 miles maybe, something like that. But, you know, it was light out the whole way. That was a blessing. The sun was shining. There's the prospect that it'll get up to 50 today, at least in Watertown. I don't know about Sheboygan, but, and besides that, you know, I listened to some scripture on the way up, and that was a blessing. And I listened to a CD of psalms, hymns, songs about the psalms on the way up, and that was a blessing, encouragement. And we get to spend some time in the Word today, and I trust that'll be an encouragement to your hearts as well. Isn't God good? Aren't you thankful for the privilege of knowing Him and serving Him and being His child? What an amazing privilege it is. Truly it is. And Psalm 100, I think, is just an amazing. It's just an amazing psalm. It's the only psalm that has a title identifying it as a psalm of praise. Did you know that? If you look in your Bible, you'll see right there. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the titles in the psalms are actually a part of the original Hebrew text of the psalms. That's why these titles are always printed in our scriptures, even though they're not identified as the first verse of a psalm. Actually, the titles are the first verse of the Psalms in the Hebrew Bible. And Psalm 100 is just one of those psalms that's packed with joy and enthusiasm and praise and hope. And I appreciated the song service this morning. There was so much packed into the song service this morning. I didn't turn around and look, but when you were singing joyful, joyful, was there a smile on your face? Yeah, or at least in your heart, you know? I mean, how do you sing a song like that and not have a smile? But maybe you came and maybe there's a burden on your heart. I don't know if you caught. I didn't write down all of the words in the song that the choir sang this morning, but here was the phrase that caught my attention. Each strand of sorrow has a place in your perfect tapestry of grace. Did you catch that? Those are powerful words. They really are. So I don't know what's going on in your life today, and I don't know what brought that on. But, you know, we serve an amazing God. And whether everything's great and it's sunshine and warm weather's coming, or it's dreary and it's rainy or snowy, hopefully we're past that, but God is still on the throne, and He is a good God. And it's our privilege to know and serve Him. And this is one of those psalms that I think just kind of captures those things. This psalm is a capstone of 10 psalms that begin with Psalm 91 that celebrate the reign of God over His creation and His people. It's a popular psalm, no doubt partly because it's so positive in nature. You can't read it carefully and thoughtfully without being moved to praise. The joy and enthusiasm in this psalm is infectious. In studying this psalm a while back, I did an internet search. And if you Google Psalm 100, do you have any idea how many hits you'll get? It's amazing. And I guess maybe this is true for a lot of things on the internet, but there were over 1 million hits, you know, for just Psalm 100. Now, I didn't check out every one of them, okay? But I did find one thing I was looking for. Many of the commentators, when you study the psalm, make reference to an old hymn that is sung to a tune, and the tune is called the Old Hundredth. Maybe some of you would remember. I like the hymn. The music's a little dated, so to speak, but the words do a good job of capturing the message of the psalm. Maybe you've heard the song before. It goes something like, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with joy, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. You heard that song before? Have you heard that tune before? Now, I'm not going to inflict pain by singing all the rest of the verses, but listen to the other three verses. Know that the Lord is God indeed. Without our aid, he did us make. We are his folk. He doth us feed, and for his sheep, he doth us take. Oh, enter then his gates with praise. Approach with joy his courts unto. Praise, laud, and bless his name always, for it is seemly so to do. For why? The Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure. His truth at all times firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. Isn't that great? It just captures all of the truth in the psalm. I also came across this interesting bit of American history. We all no doubt remember with sadness, or at least some in my generation. What am I, like a boomer? Is that what I am? I'm in my 50s. I won't say where, but I'm in my 50s. So I think that makes me a boomer, right? In the 60s, when I was a very young lad, the Supreme Court legislated prayer out of the American public schools. Maybe some of you remember that. I know, it's like the Supreme Court legislated. Wait a second, that's not their job, is it? Well, that's another issue, right? Supposedly, this was done to conform to the constitutional mandate of the Establishment Clause, which says that Congress shall not establish any religion or interfere with its free exercise. Strange how that ruling seemed to actually interfere with the free exercise of religion. But again, not going to chase that rabbit at this point. But my point here is that nothing in that Establishment Clause actually prohibits prayer or Bible reading in our public schools or institutions. But that is what the High Court decided. In any event, I understand historically that it wasn't prayer that began the day in many public school classes, but the reading of a passage of Scripture. And one of the most popular passages was this psalm. Can you imagine what would happen if a teacher in a public school today started the class by reading Psalm 100? Or any psalm, for that matter. We've come a long way, haven't we? If we were to summarize this psalm, we would probably say it is a call to praise and serve God because of what he has done and because of who he is. This psalm consists of two paragraphs. Each paragraph begins with exhortations to action, and each paragraph ends with reasons that justify and motivate those actions. What I want to do with you this morning is to work through this psalm piece by piece. We're going to meditate on this psalm together, and I trust that when we leave today, we'll be refreshed in our spirits and motivated in our ministries, that our love for God will be increased and our appreciation for him will be renewed. Let's pray to that end, shall we? God, thank you so much for the fact that you are a good God. You are a gracious God. And Lord, if we're honest, we admit and confess to you, not one of us deserves to be here today. Not one of us deserves the least of your mercies and your goodness. And yet, you choose, because of your bountiful love and mercy, to meet with us, to call us your children, to make us your own. And that's an amazing thing. And I pray that you help us to never, never, never get over that. And God, I pray that you will help us to be encouraged today as we look into your words, we look into this psalm. May we be reminded about who you are and what you've done for us. And may that in turn motivate our praise and our service. In Jesus' name, amen. In the first place, the writer commands everyone to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, I confess, I don't know what that noise must have been like for the Hebrews in that day and age. And I'm not totally sure how we go about doing it today. The word for joyful noise means to shout, cry out, raise a sound. However we go about doing it, clearly it's not making noise for the sake of noise, right? It's a joyful sound made in response to who God is and what he has done and what he is doing for us. Maybe for us today, it's giving a hearty amen on occasion when appropriate, or enthusiastically participating in a song of praise. But perhaps the most significant point here is that it is something that was to be done by all lands, or literally, it says in the text, all the earth. That means people from all over the planet, not just the Israelites. God clearly was and is interested in other peoples, and he expects them to actively participate in his worship. This is one of those places in the Old Testament where we clearly see God's interest in and love for all people. That alone should make you want to shout, literally, in praise to God. Yes, God loves me. Praise his name. You know, I'm not an Israelite. I'm not Jewish. And yet, God chose to love me. Right? God commissioned an apostle, a special apostle to the Gentiles. Who was it? The Apostle Paul. You know, and but for the grace of God, where would we be today? And so this gives us the first reason I think we should obey the exhorting here to make a joyful noise, and that is this: the Lord is God. The word for Lord here is Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the name for God that speaks of him as a covenant-making and keeping God who loves his people and wants to have a relationship with them. And this is and this Jehovah is God. Elohim is, in the passage here, it says the Lord God. Elohim is the name of God that speaks of his absolute being, his supremacy over all of creation, his power and authority to reign and rule. Because Jehovah is God, he deserves the shouts, the joyful noise of all people everywhere. And that includes us men and women, brothers and sisters. We get excited about a lot of things, don't we? And we even sometimes shout when we get excited. You ever shout when you get excited? Oh, come on. You're relatively close to Green Bay. I'm gonna guess there's probably at least a few of you in here that shout when the Packers score. I'm just gonna guess. Okay? Maybe I'm misreading, but a lot of folks in this state are what are known as cheeseheads. Right? And we'll shout when our team scores. Or when our team wins, right? Or we'll shout about other things. You know, we got a raise, got a promotion, something really exciting or fun happened. We get excited about a lot of things. Did you ever get so excited about God and what he has done for you that you shouted an exclamation in adoration, in praise? Or, okay, maybe you didn't do it, but did you at least feel like it? You know, there's coming a day when all people from every tribe and nation and language are going to bow the knee to this Jehovah God and acknowledge him as God. But only those who have a personal relationship with him will come into his presence with a joyful noise. Then we see that we are to serve the Lord with gladness. Notice that. It says, folks, gladness, not sadness. God doesn't want a bunch of gloomy Gusses and sad Sallies. Our God is Jehovah God. He is our Creator and our Savior. That ought to put a smile on your face. Life isn't always easy, and it's not always fun. In fact, it is sometimes downright awful. Right? Just ask Brother Job. You know, if you want to be encouraged, sometimes you should just go back and read the book of Job. You know, because a lot of us have been through some difficult things. And if we haven't been yet, we're going to be. But most of us have probably never endured anything like Job and his family went through. And probably none of us will ever be called on to go through something like what Job and his family went through. But in the midst of it all, we can and we should serve the Lord with gladness. And notice that word serve. What is one of the primary characteristics of a good servant? I suggest it's humility. You know, a good servant doesn't go around looking for compliments and praise. In fact, Jesus said, and this to me is one of the most amazing statements in the Gospels. Jesus said that when we have done everything that we are commanded to do, we should say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done our duty. That's an amazing thing. And I'm here to confess, I haven't done all that I was commanded to do. But even if I could, with a clear conscience, stand up and say, I've done everything I was commanded to do, I still am called by my Savior to say, I'm an unprofitable servant. All I've done is what I was commanded, what I was asked, what I was responsible to do. A servant is humble. And in this case, the servant, and that should be you and it should be me, right? The servant serves willingly and joyfully because we know who it is we're serving. We should serve God because He is the one who made us. Verse 3. He made us and He has the right to expect our loving devotion and humble service. And not only is He right to expect it, but He is worthy of it. Is He not? His commandments are for our own good. And His commandments, John reminds us, are not grievous. Let's get over the feeling like we have to serve God. No. Our attitude should be one of rejoicing, of serving gladly, because we are serving the Lord of glory, the King of creation, the God of the universe. Serving Him is not a burden to be borne, but a blessing in which to rejoice. Amen? Serving Him is not a burden to be borne, but a blessing in which to rejoice. He is our Lord, Spurgeon said, and therefore He is to be served. He is our gracious Lord, and therefore to be served with joy. Serve the Lord with gladness, because He is your Maker. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. So we make a joyful noise. Are you rejoicing today? We serve with gladness. Are you humbly serving with a happy spirit? And the next in the psalm is this command to come before God's presence with singing. That's one of the reasons, folks, you know, that when you came to church this morning, you knew one of the things that was going to happen was you were going to sing. Right? And why do you do that? Well, it's commanded. It's expected. We come into God's presence with singing. I hope you love to sing. Did you ever stop and think about the fact that God created music? That wasn't your idea. That wasn't your ancestors' idea. Music is one of God's good gifts to man, and He expects us to use it to serve and honor and praise Him. We can sing in church. We should also sing at other times. We could sing in our homes. We can sing in our cars. Did you ever go down the road and look at the guy driving next to you and you see his mouth going and there's nobody else in the car? You know, what's he doing? Is he talking? Maybe Bluetooth? I don't know. Singing to the radio? If you had passed me this morning at certain points of time, you would have seen my mouth moving. I was singing with the music on the radio, the tape, the MP3 player, my smartphone, okay? I was singing with the songs. Why? This is such a blessing to sing those words and sing praise to God. We can sing in our homes and our cars. We can sing in the shower. We can sing when we're all alone. In fact, some folks maybe shouldn't sing in public, or at least not too loudly in public. I had a friend like that. We were singing together in chapel one day in college, and And he was here, and another friend was on the other side, and I was in the middle. And my friend, bless his heart, he was making a joyful noise. Okay? I looked over at him kind of this way, and I looked at my friend. My friend standing here looked at me, and he knew exactly what I was thinking. And he looked at me, and he said, "It's pretty bad, isn't it?" Yeah, it was. But bless his heart, Brother Don, he had a song in his heart, and he was singing. He was making that joyful noise. And why exactly should we sing? What is it that motivates our song? Or what is it that should motivate our song? Notice again in verse 3, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If that truth, that reality doesn't make you want to sing, then you need to check your pulse, because you might not have a heartbeat. Think about it. His people. How did that happen? Well, it happens to us because God loved us, and God gave His Son to pay the price for our sin so that we could be the children of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is the good shepherd. Is He your shepherd? Do you know Him personally? Do you have a personal relationship with this good shepherd? You know, a lot of people repeat Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you probably know the rest of it. But you know, the only way for the Lord to truly be your shepherd, it isn't just by quoting a psalm, because it, you know, you think it's kind of like a good luck charm or something. The only way for the Lord to truly be your shepherd is for you to believe His word and trust Him and Him alone with your life and your eternity. If you don't have a song in your heart today, or if you never feel like coming into God's presence with singing, maybe you need to examine yourself and see whether or not He really is your shepherd. And by the way, what does a shepherd do for his sheep? God does all the things for His people that a shepherd does for his sheep. He feeds them. He guides them. He protects them. He corrects them. He loves them. He teaches them. In short, He cares for them. God cares for His people. When you stop and think about it, it's almost enough to make even members of this church shout. Right? Or at least sing. Amen? Let us come before His presence with singing, because we are His people and we are His sheep. And what a privilege that is. What an amazing privilege that is. And then the fourth command in this psalm is to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Here it would appear that all peoples are invited to come into the city of Jerusalem and into the temple complex. Of course, in that day and age, David wrote the psalm, so the temple hadn't been built yet, but the tabernacle was there, and there was that outer court to the tabernacle. And all people were invited to come and to demonstrate gratitude to God and to come to the temple to worship. The word courts would be a reference to the area outside of, in that day and age, the tabernacle, and then a little bit later on, after Solomon, the temple itself. A similar command is seen in Psalm 96, verses 7 through 8. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. And may I remind you, the Psalms were the hymn book of the nation of Israel, right? God's chosen people. And yet, though God had chosen them as His people, He did not seek their worship alone or exclusively their worship. His invitation, His gracious invitation, was to all the people of the earth. Give, what was that word? Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. You know, the temple is gone now. It was destroyed. back in the first century A.D. In this day and age, the people of God gathers churches for worship, just like this church. But I think it's safe to say that when we gather for worship, and even when we worship in private, we ought to come with thanksgiving and praise. And the reasons for our gratitude are noted in verse 5. Because the Lord is good, and because His mercy is everlasting. Again, to quote Spurgeon, as long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Thanking God for all that He has done, for all that He's doing, for all that He will yet do, that ought to be part of all of our prayer in worship. In everything, give thanks, is what Paul challenges us to do. The giving of thanks is so important that we are told to do so twice in this psalm of 5 verses. Are you thanking God today for His goodness? Are you thanking God today for His everlasting mercy? His everlasting loving kindness? Now there's something else to think about. Everlasting mercy. Chesed is in Hebrew, that loving kindness, that covenant love that never lets go, that never gives up. Mercy that never quits. Mercy that never ceases. Mercy that saves your soul and keeps your soul. Mercy that gives grace for every need. Mercy that makes rejoicing possible in the midst of trial or heartache, disappointment, or loss. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Jeremiah reminds us, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Every day, give thanks to the Lord. In every church service, give thanks to the Lord. In every prayer, give thanks to the Lord. In times of good health and great provision, give thanks to the Lord. In times of burden or great sorrow, give thanks to the Lord. Thank the Lord for His mercy. Thank the Lord that things are not as bad as they might be. Thank the Lord that things are as good as they are. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Which brings us to the final command in the psalm, to bless God's name. How do you bless His name? The first thing to note, I think, is that in Scripture, God's name always stands for God's person, right? Just like your name stands for you. So to bless God's name really means to bless God. But what does it mean to bless God? The word bless basically means to praise, to give credit to attribute worthiness. I believe we bless God when we speak about Him in ways that are true, in ways that bring honor and praise to Him, in ways that recognize Him for who He is and for what He does. And one reason for blessing His name, praising His person, is that His truth endures to all generations. You know, the word truth here is an interesting word. Some translations use the word faithfulness, and that's certainly part of it. The root of the word is where we get our word, amen. In the Hebrew, it'd be pronounced something like amen. At the heart of the meaning of the word is certainty and firmness. The point is, we can and should praise God because His truth is certain and faithful and reliable. We can count on it and rely on its dependability. It never changes. When you woke up this morning, you didn't have to wonder if His word was still true. You didn't have to wonder if God had changed His mind about things. One commentator writes this, "It's the just foundation for praise to God, our God, that He is essentially and always in all worlds and in all the generations of man, towards all in the universe, a being of unchangeable benevolence, mercy, and truth. Such a God is worthy to be had in universal reverence, Such a God is worthy of universal praise. We never have to wonder if God's word is still true, if his commands are still the same, if his promises are still reliable. They are. They're certain. God is faithful. We can count on him. He declares to us, I am the Lord. I change not. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful anchor to hold on to in times of great sorrow, great difficulty, and also in times of great joy and peace. So as you go through the day, as you go through this week and the rest of the month, wait, it's almost the end of the month. Well, tomorrow, okay. The rest of the year, the rest of your life, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve him with gladness and singing. Give thanks in everything and praise the Lord and remember why you do these things according to this psalm. Because the Lord is God. He is our creator. He is our shepherd. He is good. His mercy is everlasting and he is faithful to his word from one generation to the next. Men and women, brothers and sisters, he is a God worthy of our praise and our gratitude and our service. And this God is our God. Serve him with gladness today, tomorrow, the rest of your lives, because he is worthy. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for being a good God. Thank you, God, for your love for us and for the fact that you are willing to be called our God, that you are willing to become our Savior. And Lord, I don't know the heart condition of everybody here today. Maybe there's somebody here today who doesn't truly know you as his or her personal Savior. And I pray if that's the case, that man or that woman, that child might give his or her heart and life to you today and experience the life-changing grace of the gospel. God, thank you for making the difference in our lives that you have made. Thank you for this powerful challenge and reminder and encouragement to us today to serve you and to serve you with gladness in light of all that you have done for us, in light of all that you are doing for us, in light of all that you will yet do for us. Lord, may we be motivated to serve you and to serve you with gladness because you are an amazing God. You are an amazingly good God. I pray that our worship, our praise, our thanksgiving today would bless you, would bless your holy name. God, help us as your people to be to your praise and your honor and your glory. In your name we ask it. Amen.